Poetic Process
Podcast.
Welcome back to the Poetic Process Podcast. I am B the Poet, and this is where we introspect our happenings and untangle what we call thoughts. Take a beat and enjoy some poetry with B. Today's poem:
Unrealistic Expectations. Self-love is important, but when does that love become so stringent that mistakes of others are perceived to be exceedingly treasonous, that the only people worthy of noble knighting are those seen in dreams? Welcome back to the Poetic Process Podcast. I am B the Poet, and this is a short one. Unrealistic Expectations is a follow-up to my fake love poem that was previously recorded 2 weeks ago. Fake love was from an angry place. I'm not understanding the lack of support I often find myself in, you know, non-mutualistic relationships. But I wanted to be a little bit honest with myself. There has been a phenomenon of the self-love, self-care movement post-pandemic, when we are leaning into ourselves and pouring into ourselves, which is important. But when I think about the love that I have for myself, sometimes I wonder if there is anybody else that can give that to me. They say you have to love yourself to know what to expect or to know what you should receive. And often people are like, okay, well, if I have the energy to give this to myself, I expect other people to give it to me. This is the energy that I give inward, and this is what I emit outward. So when there's a deficit in what you get in return, there's confusion. There's confusion with me, at least, whenever I don't feel things are reciprocal. And I had to think realistically, is this something that's unrealistic? Hence the name of the poem, Unrealistic Expectations. There's been a lot of rumblings regarding support with the new year around the corner. Cutoff and startup season is amiss. With the controversy that simmered regarding Keith Lee and the black-owned businesses and the recent occurrence of Winnie Parker on TikTok, have y'all seen that? Wow, it got kind of dirty. Okay, if you haven't heard about it, there's this influencer, okay? She went viral for basically saying that it's better to have a Caucasian following versus an African-American, or a white following versus a black following on social media. Why, you might ask her, because I don't know. Because of her, all the black followers she just basically was saying, because her black followers don't support her content, specifically brand deals, she had a Macy's campaign come out, and I guess it just didn't get a lot of interaction from her followers. And she basically came out saying, hey, this is why a lot of black content creators don't get selected for these campaigns, because the black people don't support, you know, whatever content creators have brand deals. They don't click the link, they don't hit the like button, they don't interact with the posts or leave comments, hence not getting a lot of interaction. So what's the point of big brands working with black creators if black followers aren't interacting with the posts? It spiraled. So many people stitched her video basically saying how the content isn't consistent. And I can say I didn't know about her following before she went viral for this incident, but scrolling through her page, a lot of it's inconsistent. She doesn't niche down, and I'm no brand manager, content creator manager, but from what the people and the masses say when it comes to algorithms, I don't know. If you doing a story time one day and you're doing a hair video one day and now you have a Macy's campaign, oh, okay, it's in the alignment of fashion, hair, etc. But it's not one specific sector of the beauty category. If you're doing a hair video, your page should be technically full of hair videos. That's what the TikTok and IG creators say in order to get your algorithm on your side, to push it to people who are specifically looking for hair, makeup, and clothing, or what they call discount clothing stores. Like, if you're doing Macy's, you should do TJ Maxx, Home Goods. Like, these are the people that shop at these department stores and discount clothing stores, technically. But what do I know? People were complaining about the angles, the lighting was bad, the quality of the video was bad, and all of this. She wasn't feeling it, and she just got on Instagram basically dragging black followers. And if this is your target market, I don't know if that's a good idea. So Macy's got back to her and basically said they did not like all the hate that the post received, so they would not be working with her in the future. Bummer. This isn't a drag Winnie episode, but in thinking about my unrealistic expectations, when we try to digest this new wave of parasocial relationships, a lot of people speak about it from the consumer aspect and not knowing the creative. Like recently with Doja Cat basically saying she hates her fans and stop calling yourself kittens, and there was that weird interaction and people were a little bit confused about it because they feel like the creator should worship the consumer in a sense of saying, oh, I love you guys, and you know how Beyonce does for the Beehive and Ariana Grande does for the, I don't know, Swifties does for the Taylor Swift does for the Swifties, all of these things when it comes to parasocial relationships. What about from the creative to the consumer? Like, how exactly should you be treating those who digest your content, who pay your bills technically throughout, you know, middleman and these platforms? How exactly should you be treating those people who consume your content? And was Winnie wrong for basically saying that she doesn't feel supported in this? I don't know. We can also translate this to Keith Lee and how he has his business model set up, basically anonymously going to different restaurants across the country, black-owned businesses specifically, to review the food and the customer service. He got a lot of backlash for quote-unquote breaking down black-owned businesses. I know you guys saw the controversy with the Milk and Honey restaurant and how they basically responded to Keith Lee as a consumer. Technically, although he is on social media, he is presenting himself as a consumer. He sent his family into this restaurant to be told that they are A, not able to be seated, and they don't take takeout orders. They only have takeout orders on Grubhub. So they weren't able to place an order, but when Keith Lee arrived with his social status as a creator, he was then allowed service. Across the board, there's like a issue when it comes to creatives, creators, business owners to the consumer, and what that relationship looks like is even more nuanced and confusing when it comes to black-owned businesses, because we have this idea that we are all supposed to support each other no matter the treatment of us as consumers. Of course, Winnie may not have a niche down page, but were her black consumers, her black viewers, wrong for not interacting with the post that was quote unquote low quality, according to a lot of Stitchers? Was Keith Lee as a consumer wrong for expressing his disdain and distaste for the rules for Milk and Honey? Are we all supposed to blindly support each other even when we're not receiving what they feel is up to par with the market? Does Winnie have unrealistic expectations to expect her consumers to digest her content no matter the target market because they share the same color of skin? Does The Real Milk and Honey believe that they should receive 5 stars across the board because they provide a quote-unquote luxury dining experience to our market? Should we all support each other blindly no matter the content or no matter the product? Should we continue to patron these places no matter the service or, you know, experience? Is that the right way? With this movement of self-love, which I believe is extremely important, I think as we move and transition from like village or like community lifestyles previously in the past, and we are kind of branching off into like this individualistic society,
I think that all of us are having this inflated sense of self. And I hate to use that terminology because I don't even like that verbiage. I don't like the verbiage of entitlement. I don't like the verbiage of inflated sense of self, because we are all important people. But when we take it to such an extreme to believe that we are all the main characters in the story of life, you can run into issues when you feel like everything that you put out into the ether should get some sort of rise out of people. Your content and your product should warrant a certain response. Even as small creators like me, like I'm putting this podcast out every week. Do I feel like I should receive a certain level of interaction and support from my inner circle, no matter whatever issues or whatever things that they have going on a daily basis? They're working in the office. They're taking care of their children. Do they have time to click and listen or to like or to comment or to follow and support? I don't know. And I don't expect them to do so. I want this to be a curated space for poetic creators who listen and understand and appreciate my content. And that's what I want. I don't know if that's the right way of looking at it personally, because I know that my response or my expectation of humans is extremely low. The bar is set in Hades, hell, southbound, and I just don't really expect too much of other people. I have a high expectation for myself and what I give to others. But when I receive things, yes, it might cause pause and I might get annoyed for like a split second, but then I remember, like, everybody is only human. And for Winnie specifically, when you set an expectation or a bar for people to interact with your content, I know she has her own little scandals deep in her TikTok post, but the bigger picture, when you expect people to pour into you, that's not always going to happen. So you can't have expectations for people. Don't be unrealistic with your expectations. Set the bar even. If they can meet it, great. It's a bonus. But whenever you're putting things out, whenever you're living your life, whenever you don't expect shit from nobody, and that's on period. I truly believe that. Don't expect shit from nobody. Anything anybody do for you is a bonus at the end of the day. You got to do it for yourself. And that's kind of a harsh way of looking at it. Because when you look at other communities, they have a sense of village still. There's still a sense of community. But specifically with the African American community, I definitely feel like accountability is the number one issue. Like, we don't lean on each other. We lean on each other when in need, or like, of course. And I'm not saying this for all people, but just from looking at it historically, we had a sense of community, and it's been broken down, of course, blah, 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 systemic racism, all these other things is contributing factors. But it's on an individual level. When it comes to family, what I have seen in my peripheral and in my frontal view, it hasn't always been, let me pour into that black owned business or restaurant or grocer or farmer every time. Like, whenever we split up and have these different types of sectors and hierarchies, it's just a lot of people that get forgotten about. Like, family isn't a sense of family anymore. Friendship levels are divvied up based on social status sometimes, and not necessarily pulling each other up from the bottom. Like, this is a bigger issue, and I feel like she tried to tap into it. It was from a place of malice. I didn't like her post, and it has nothing to do with her specifically as a human and all the stuff in her past. But I definitely think for conversation there. But what I'm speaking of is just the baseline. Don't have unrealistic expectations.
I've come to terms with not everybody is going to see my vision outside of this podcast, like in other things, but also within it. Like, it's such a niche thing. I find interest in my space, and I'm trying to cultivate a space that's specifically for poets, soliloquy, sassiness. You know, I want this to be a space for that. That's why I created a separate TikTok, a separate Instagram, and I want to make it specifically for poetry and lovers of poetry. and creatives, the people that have interacted with it are people from creative spaces. And that's what I ultimately wanted to be. I wanted to be a quiet area with no noise, nobody lingering, looking for, with lustful eyes or looking with, you know, through a lens of performance for entertainment, but looking through a lens of wanting to ingest content, curious minds that have questions about specifically the subject matter of a specific poem. Like, okay, like the Antichrist poem, AI Antichrist, like these are thought-provoking topics, and I want it to be a thought-provoking space. I don't want it to be, you know, I know it's social media at the end of the day, period, but I want it to be something different, you know, a different space. But anyway, I know that this podcast is niche as shit, and the people that get it, and the people that don't, okay? When I wrote the poem about fake love, it was me speaking from a lens of what I would do for myself and what I see myself doing for others.
Realistic expectations are important when you move from a place of abundance. Not all people are light. Not all people are in abundance and truly see themselves with full self-love capabilities. They may be grasping to pull into themselves, and they might not be able to give into you. They may be pouring from a cup that's a quarter full or half full. Your self-love meter may be like a pair of glasses. You have your set prescription. You have your tint set to your eyes. And other people might not be able to see your vision. They might have dirty lenses. They may have a separate tint. They may be colorblind. And not all the time would they be able to see your grind. Just keep putting out that painting. Keep pouring that water into that plant. Let it grow. Let it grow. And when it's ready to eat, feed the hungry people. But I'm not a farmer. I'm just a poet. Thank you guys for tuning into the Poet of Process podcast. I am B the Poet. You know, follow me at all podcasts and platforms and on social media at _poeticprocess. A little housekeeper note, I have been putting things out on TikTok, a couple of TikTok videos, I guess is what they're called. And I noticed like the digital footprint, if you search Be the Poet, I do come up, but that is a very common name I am finding. And I wonder if I should switch my name to the Poetic Processor. I like that. That sounds very interesting, don't it? What's up, y'all? It is the Poetic Processor. I Googled it and I saw that back in the 1980s, there was something called a poetic processor. Like it's some sort of computer that basically housed a lot of words, and it was like an instrument used to create poetry. And this was back in the 1980s. I think it's interesting how there is a rise in AI right now, and it's threatening the artistic space when it comes to physical art, and also from a literary perspective when it comes to books, movies, and even poetry. I don't know if I would ever want to read or listen to a poem made from a computer. It may be so grand and derived from ancient poets and, you know, people with different perspectives, but I personally would like to hear from a human. And the purpose of this podcast is also to process poetically, to know the story behind these poems, and I don't think you would ever get that from a computer. So I think it would be interesting if I did gravitate towards this name, the Poetic Processor, in like a way of taking back that artistic literary idea and becoming the Poetic Processor in the physical. You guys come here, you listen to my poetry and how I process it, and we're all processing our poetry. And this space is exactly what I think a Poetic Processor should be, not a computer that's cold and soulless. I'm still trying to gather the dots, but it just sounds cool to me. Let me know what you guys think. Anyway, I will see you guys next week. Bye.
The Poetic Process. What? I said the Poetic Process podcast. See it, I can't get it out.